The Racer's Edge, Larry Darrell revealed, continued from May-June issue. We conclude with Louis Buss's two-part article that recounts the meeting of two British citizens in Sri Ramanashramam, Major A.W. Chadwick, the spiritual aspirant, and Somerset Maugham, the world-famous novelist, and the best-selling book that this encounter produced. It is natural to assume that Somerset Maugham undertook the long journey from Madras to Tiruvannamalai to see Ramana Maharishi, the greatest guru of the age. After all, why else would a famous writer, then well into his 60s, undertake an arduous journey which he was to describe as a dull, hot drive along a dusty, bumpy road? But the visit took place towards the end of Maugham's stay in India, by which time he had come to the conclusion that all her holy men said more or less the same thing. Having read much about Hinduism before he left and been much baffled by it, he had hoped that encounters with living proponents might enlighten him. Yet, to Maugham's undisguised frustration, the various yogis and sages he encountered just repeated exactly the same formulations he had already read in the books. It seems unlikely that Maugham would have trekked all the way down from Madras just to hear yet another holy man trot out the analogy of the snake and the rope, which he had by this time come to find particularly tiresome. Maugham might have met plenty of holy men by now, but he had not yet encountered a great war veteran who was living in one of the ashrams. This was a rare specimen indeed, and a far better incentive to go bumping down that hot and dusty road. After all, Maugham was here to research a new novel about Hinduism. He was on the lookout for characters and plots, given that he was already interested in soldiers who had trouble fitting back into society. He must have been desperate to meet a major from the First World War who had hidden himself away in a Hindu ashram. With any luck, Chadwick would hand him the whole of his next novel on a plate. Sure enough, it was not a devotee of the Maharishi who brought Maugham to the ashram, but a friend of Chadwick's, one Mrs. Austin, wife of the collector of Madras. This strongly implies that Maugham travelled south not to meet the famous Maharishi, but to seek out Mrs. Austin's enigmatic Major C. Subsequent events bear this out. Once Maugham's party had arrived at the ashram, Chadwick tried to leave them to their lunch, but he was not allowed to escape. Instead, he was subjected to a lengthy grilling. Somerset Maugham asked innumerable questions about my life and the ashram, apologizing for his inquisitiveness. Yet, when the greatest guru of the age finally appeared on the scene, Maugham had not prepared one single question to ask of him. Further clear evidence that Maugham was here to find out about Chadwick rather than his guru comes from the account in his own notebook, which ends with these words: "It was hard to make up one's mind what sort of a man he, Major C, was. He was certainly very happy. I had thought to discover something of the truth about him from what he looked like and what he said, but I came away completely puzzled." I had thought, in other words, Maugham was already puzzling over the mysterious Major C before he even traveled to the ashram, and he arrived there determined to get to the bottom of the mystery. But if Chadwick was indeed the prey that the great literary predator had come seeking, then he proved an infuriatingly elusive quarry. Even on the ordinary human level, Chadwick was difficult to pin down. In the notebook, we find Mom struggling to guess his age, which might have been anywhere from 35 to 50. Chadwick was in fact 48 at the time, but looking good on it. Mom's first impression was of a tall, broad-built man with close-cropped brown hair. His clean-shaven face was rather large, but with small features and a short, blunt nose. Chadwick went barefoot and was wearing a sort of Chinese coat and Chinese trousers of white cotton. The difficulty of guessing Chadwick's age was only the first of many perplexing riddles. Mom could not even make up his mind if Chadwick was intelligent or rather stupid, though he did form the clear impression that he was not widely read. He was serene, beaming, eager to please, all in all. There was a distinct touch of the Boy Scout about him. Yet, this modest, self-effacing man also showed a baffling tendency to brag about his special status in the ashram. He told me several times that he enjoyed privileges that no other inmate of the ashram was accorded. His attitude was a little like that of a schoolboy, inclined to boast because he is in the headmaster's favor. When Mom tried to get Chadwick to talk about his past, he became reticent and elusive. All he would say was that there had been nobody particularly close to him in England. For what Chadwick really wanted to talk about, and one subject on which it was difficult to make him shut up, was Ramana Maharishi, or the yogi, as Mom's notebook calls him. He said that he had found peace, and over again, that the presence and the sight of the yogi gave him a spiritual serenity which was beyond all price. One is left with a clear impression that Mom and Chadwick had very different agendas and different ideas of what the interview should achieve. Mom, perhaps already planning a novel about a veteran who hides himself away in an ashram, wanted to know about Chadwick's past and what had motivated him to take up his current strange mode of life. Chadwick himself clearly hoped that Mom would be impressed by the greatness of Ramana Maharishi and go back to proclaim it in the West. Although they might not have agreed on what it should achieve, both men were to agree on how the interview abruptly ended, with Somerset Maugham fainting clean away, Chadwick diagnosed a touch of the sun, and Maugham later revealed he had always been prone to such fainting fits. In any case, Maugham was duly carried into Chadwick's cottage, and it was there that the most celebrated novelist of the age finally came face to face with its greatest spiritual teacher. The Maharishi was of average height for an Indian, of a dark honey color, with close-cropped white hair and a close-cropped white beard. He was not stout but plump, though he wore nothing but a white loincloth. He looked neat, very clean, and almost dapper. His mouth was somewhat large, with thickish lips, and his eyes were neither so big nor so lustrous as are the eyes of most Indians. The whites were bloodshot. He bore himself with simplicity and at the same time with dignity. He was cheerful, smiling, polite. He did not give me the impression of a scholar, but rather of a sweet-natured old peasant. For some considerable time, from half an hour to an hour, depending on which of the accounts you trust, the celebrated novelist and the yogi sat before each other. Somerset Maugham, the most famous writer on earth, the friend of statesmen and kings, and an acknowledged master of the witty remark, was dumbstruck before the humble old peasant. Eventually, a few words did pass between them, with Maharishi saying something to the effect that silence was also a form of conversation. Then he turned to Chadwick and said, in his childlike way, that he should be going because nobody else in the ashram knew where he was and they would be looking for him. So, having slightly bowed to Somerset Maugham, the sweet-natured old peasant left the room and continued with his afternoon stroll. Later on, Maugham went to peer at him through the window of the old hall, where he sat on his sofa with incense burning and disciples gathered at his feet. Having made a few mental notes of the scene, Maugham climbed back into the car with Mrs. Austin and the others who had accompanied him. Soon, the great novelist was bumping back up the long, dusty road to Madras, and Major C never set his eyes on him again. It would be fascinating to read the full text of the notes that Maugham made on his return to Madras that evening. Had he and Chadwick discussed the war as they chatted on the veranda? Had Chadwick revealed his own military history, perhaps mentioning wounds and even shell shock? Might he have explained why he had never married, revealing details of a broken engagement in his past? Had he explained to Maugham, as he did to other friends in India, that during his youth he had done every job under the sun? Might he even have let slip that this had included working down the mines? Since Maugham burned his original notes, we shall never know. However, it is worth pointing out that what Major C told him that day was not necessarily all Maugham discovered. Mrs. Austin was a friend of Chadwick's after all, and she and Maugham had hours of driving to get through on either side of the encounter. Even if Chadwick didn't feel like mentioning shell shock or a failed engagement to Maugham, he might already have confided such things in Mrs. Austin, and she might easily have let something slip on that long, bumpy drive back to Madras. All we can say for certain is that there are similarities between Larry and Chadwick that stretch the usual definition of a coincidence to breaking point. Both of them had been wounded during the war and been able to continue fighting, but had then needed to rest on being discharged from the army. The problem in both cases was shell shock. We know from historical records that Chadwick was admitted to a clinic for shell shock officers for a short time in 1920. Remarkably, just like Larry, Chadwick speaks of losing his best friend during the conflict. Both men then spent the 1920s drifting from job to job, but never settling down to anything. Even though there is no hard evidence of Chadwick working in the mines as Larry did, we know that he had previously worked as a surveyor and that during the war he was a part of a pioneer regiment responsible for digging entrenchments, laying light railways and the like, and thus would have been admirably suited to peacetime mining work. Both he and Larry had got engaged, then broken it off. Both of them were driven to seek the meaning of life, and both were able to devote themselves to this because they were both lucky enough to have small private incomes. Both of them were eventually led to India, where they both lived for 2 years in very similar ashrams with very similar gurus. Indeed, the differences between their real Sri Ramana and the fictional Sri Ganesha are about as trivial as those between the real Alan Chadwick and the fictional Larry Darrell. In both cases, Mom has just lifted his characters straight from life and made a few superficial changes for the sake of form. The big difference between Larry and Chadwick, of course, lies in the future course of their lives. Larry returned to the West after his 2 years in India, whilst we know that Chadwick ended his days in the ashram. But while we may know this about him, with the benefit of hindsight, Chadwick himself did not know it at the time when he met Somerset Maugham. At that point, he was still very much intending to return home one day. In fact, he specifically told Maugham that he only intended to stay in India until his beloved yogi died or until he himself had achieved enlightenment. Once one of those conditions was met, there would be no need for him to stay in India anymore, and he would return to Europe. So, Mom took Chadwick's real life up till the point where the two of them met, including those 2 years in the ashram, then simply added on an imaginary future suggested by Chadwick himself. But Larry's story is merely a fulfillment of what Chadwick then dreamt of, becoming enlightened and going home. Only once you have made the connection between Chadwick and Larry Darrell can you understand the otherwise baffling hostility shown towards Somerset Maugham in A Sadhu's Reminiscences. Although the book is a very short one, Chadwick finds time to launch an extended and bitter attack on Maugham, accusing him of lying, of putting his own words in the mouths of others, of failing to understand Bhagavan and Advaita, and generally of confusing fact with fiction. Given that Maugham was an admirer of the Maharishi, this demolition job is very strange. Stranger still is Chadwick's failure even to mention the racer's edge in his own book. It is as if Somerset Maugham's most famous novel, which had sold millions of copies and which everyone knew, referred to Ramana Maharishi, had simply never happened. Yet the riddle is quickly solved if you read The Racer's Edge and try to imagine how it would feel to have everyone thinking you were Larry Darrell. Besides being a very private and reticent person, Chadwick was a conservative Englishman from a traditional Christian background. To be shown tramping around Europe and working down the mines was perhaps embarrassing enough. Yet Larry is shown having casual flings with all sorts of women, including a farmer's wife and an 18-year-old flamenco dancer. All this after Somerset Maugham had explicitly declared that he had invented nothing. No doubt, Chadwick also saw his philosophical and spiritual beliefs misrepresented, his war experiences sensationalized, and his whole life turned into a sort of cheap, penny-dreadful parody. No wonder that when he came to write his own reminiscences, Chadwick seized the opportunity to ridicule Maugham and undermine his credibility in every way possible. Yet, no wonder he somehow contrived to do this without so much as mentioning The Racer's Edge, one of the most widely read novels of the century. Yet, the last book Chadwick would ever encourage anyone to read. Unfortunately for Chadwick, The Racer's Edge was one of those books that everyone had on the shelves. All his friends and family must have known that he was Larry. The last of them that I managed to track down was his nephew, John Chadwick, who sadly died in 2009. I thus missed the chance of interviewing him, though I was able to contact some of his friends. They told me that John had hardly ever mentioned the uncle who was never there. It seems that John Chadwick had only ever said two things about his mysterious Uncle Alan. The first was that he had lived in an Indian ashram. The second was that he had been mentioned in a story by Somerset Maugham. It is hardly any surprise to find that Chadwick's family identified him with Larry. The really surprising thing is that nobody else ever seems to have made the connection. A novelist famous for putting real people in his books visits India and conducts a detailed interview with a First World War veteran who has been living in an ashram for 2 years. The novelist then returns to the West and writes a book about a First World War veteran who lives in an ashram for 2 years. And for decades afterwards, people scratch their heads, wondering who on earth it might have been. But one of the many similarities between Larry and Chadwick is that they were both humble, self-effacing, and elusive, able to deflect unwanted attention with a beaming smile. One of the other characters in the book complains that Larry slips through your fingers like a smoke ring. So Chadwick, strapping 6'2", though he was, somehow contrives to hide himself from you. We shall never know, of course. It may be that the staggering coincidences between Larry and Chadwick are just that, staggering coincidences. We can never finally prove that Chadwick was Larry, since this would involve entering the mind of a long-dead author. Indeed, the only character in The Racer's Edge we can be absolutely sure was based on a real person is none other than Somerset Maugham himself, because the great writer not only appears in the pages of his own novel, but does so under his own name, without the conventional thin disguise. All the other characters know him and recognize him at once. For who could fail to recognize the world-famous Mr. Maugham? Given the religious theme of Maugham's book, the symbolism of all this is particularly apt. Once the author appears among his own characters to declare that the story is based on something more real, the ordinary fabric of the illusion is undermined. If all the world is a stage, then we are all Larry Darrells, seeking our Chadwicks, searching for the real selves behind these fictional facades. and for Somerset Maugham to put himself into a book that contained Sri Ramana Maharishi as one of its characters was a beautiful hymn of praise, an unconscious literary hallelujah. God himself is a great author, after all. This universe being no more than the ultimate masterpiece of magical realism. And like Somerset Maugham, the great genius behind it all, sometimes allows himself the luxury of taking the stage under a more or less transparent disguise. Many believe he appeared here 2000 years ago in the radiant form of the Nazarene, with his frock beard and flowing robes. There are even a few who believe he has actually appeared among us in living memory, under the guise of a sweet-natured old peasant, a beggar with nothing to his name but a loincloth, water pot and stick. Chadwick was certainly one of those believers. For here is what Mom wrote about the elusive Major C after he had driven back to Madras that day in 1938. He has an intense adoration for the yogi and says that he looks upon him as the greatest spiritual figure that the world has known since Christ. Shortly after Chadwick had made this staggering declaration, the great enchanter materialized on the stage in person. Having dreamt of Mrs. Austin, Major C, and even the famous Somerset Maugham, not to mention the solemn temples of Thiruvannamalai, the cloud-capped mountain, the great globe itself, the divine author had been unable to resist writing himself a little part to play. This time, he adopted the disguise of a sweet old peasant, limping a little as he entered, leaning heavily upon his stick.